Full Story is supported by AMP Super. There are moments in life where everything shifts. A new job, a new home, a new direction. But those same moments can also shape your future. AMP calls these super moments. Times to check in on your super. And with 24/7 digital financial advice, AMP Super helps you make more confident decisions as your situation changes. Search AMP Super Moments to find out more. AMP Super. Built for life's super moments. AMP Super, issued by NM Superannuation Proprietary Limited. See PDS and TMD on amp.com.au and consider what's right for you.
This is The Guardian.
I'm here to party with America, man. Music is made to bring people together. And that's what we're here to do, man. We're just going to represent the 90s, you know? It's life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
I'm Richard Ahmed.
And I'm Jonathan Yaroshelmi.
And this is Decoding America, a podcast from Guardian Australia. Well, you probably recognized him, 90s music star Vanilla Ice, in case you didn't. He hasn't cancelled his act, but other artists are icing theirs. Musicians are starting to pull out of America's 250th birthday celebrations, Jonathan.
Yeah, I think a lot of people in America are asking how this fell apart quite so quickly. But there is a silver lining for fans of extreme violence. A signature Ultimate Fighting Championship event is still going ahead in a giant outdoor arena outside the White House.
It's right at the front door to the White House. And you'll never see it again. It's never happened before, and you'll never see it again. And it's great. And this will be the highest rated event, maybe one of them ever in sports.
Donald Trump's very proud of that. We are going to talk about the UFC match for America's 250th, and it's meant to be for Trump's 80th.
Yes, it's on his birthday.
As well. Interesting, the two going together. That's going to be a theme. We're also going to look at that $1.8 billion anti-weaponization fund that's been scrapped and the California governor's primary race taking place as we speak. But first of all, these 250th U.S. anniversary celebrations, are they political or aren't they?
Well, they're not meant to be, are they? So this is the semi-quincentennial. Are you impressed?
I'm impressed because I decided not to pronounce that word.
Yeah, I managed to get it. I've been practicing all morning. Yeah. They've had 250 years to prepare for this. So I think a lot of people are asking quite how it's gone so wrong. And that issue of whether it is politicized, that's a big question. And it comes down to who you ask, I suppose. Because we know, for instance, that there is this organization, America 250, who is a congressionally approved organization who's meant to be organizing a lot of what's happening around America over the next month or so. But there's also Freedom 250.
Right.
And that is a Trump-approved organization. And that is the organization responsible for organizing this American State Fair, this big outdoor concert on the National Mall that was meant to be happening on the 25th of June. And that's where a lot of the issues seem to have been.
So this is the event where we're seeing musical artists either pulling out of or being asked, like Vanilla Ice, are you still going to attend? Who's pulled out?
I mean, the names on this are incredible. Names that I think most people may not have heard of. And if they have heard of them, probably not for a couple of decades. So the Commodores, Milli Vanilli, Vanilla Ice, you mentioned. And less than 48 hours after a lot of these acts are announced, 7 out of 9 of them had dropped out, and a lot of them had said they didn't even know they were on the ticket for this. They weren't even told. And for those that did know, well, they said that they were concerned that this had become quite a partisan event. They were happy to take part in an event that was commemorating America's 250th, but this was increasingly becoming something that was more of a Trump event.
It's a bit of a confusing picture because I was looking at comments from Bret Michaels, frontman for Poison. Another 90s. It's all 90s. Is that
80s and 90s? I think.
I wonder if that was deliberate or.
I think it's maybe all they could get.
But Bret Michaels from Poison, he said his decision is not about politics. So some of them seem to have pulled out, but have been reluctant to say exactly why.
Yeah, I think that it has become a very difficult thing. We know, for instance, that a lot of corporate sponsors had a lot of issues because they don't know whether to support the kind of nonpartisan congressional side of this, the America 250 organization, or to put their money behind Freedom 250, the Donald Trump one. And so it has become a real political issue for a lot of people. And we know, for instance, as well, that Democrats are saying this has just become all about Trump. that these celebrations were meant to be about America and you've made it all about yourself. And Republicans are really latching onto this because they're able to now say, well, you're just unpatriotic. You don't want to celebrate America. This is, you know, the typical political attack lines, but it has become a real partisan wedge.
It's become very conflated and messy. We should say before we move on to how Donald Trump is suggesting it's handled, that Freedom 250 does say that it was nonpartisan, the events, and dedicated to uniting Americans around the nation's 250th anniversary. So that's their reply. But Donald Trump has a novel solution.
Yes, he said instead of having overpriced singers, his words, who nobody wants to hear and whose music he says is boring, he says cancel it. Let's have a Make America Great Again rally. His words, I'm thinking about bringing the number one attraction anywhere in the world, the man who gets much larger audiences than Elvis in his prime, and the man who some say is the greatest American in history.
Who might that be?
It's Donald Trump. And this is all part of what The Atlantic magazine is calling Donald Trump's YOLO presidency. YOLO, you only live once, just for some of our older listeners.
Thank you.
And it seems to be he's so focused on his legacy. So he has tied up this whole event, America's 250, into his own presidency. His birthday, his 80th birthday is in June. There's kind of an overlap there. He's talking about putting himself on a $250 bill. We know he's put his name on the Kennedy Center, even though that's being fought. He wants to build a sort of Arc de Triomphe, the Arc de Trump in Washington. And I think that so much of this celebration is about Donald Trump securing his legacy in really physical, tangible ways that, you know, separate to any kind of policy things or anything to do with the war in Iran or Venezuela, he wants there to be a physical reminder of Donald Trump in Washington long after he's gone. And this is kind of all part of that.
I'm glad you mentioned some of those examples because it's all being mixed up with remaking Washington, D.C. We've spoken about this before, resurfacing the Lincoln Memorial, is even getting some coins made. Some designs have come out, which you're not supposed to have a living president on a coin. It's sort of against federal law, but that seems to be going ahead. I do wonder, though, there's a lot of history with Donald Trump really courting celebrities and wanting to be embraced by that world. It does feel like this might have hurt.
I think that's such an interesting point. Do you remember after he won in 2024, there was a lot of talk about a vibe shift, that the fact that he won so comprehensively, he won the, you know, the Electoral College, but he also won the popular vote, and that the Democrats had just been beaten so badly that everyone thought, actually, this is significant of something much wider in our culture, American culture, and frankly, in the world. So you saw kind of this rollback of diversity initiatives at a lot of companies. A lot of companies, I think, said, you know, this is an excuse basically to say, this is not what people want. They want Donald Trump. You saw Donald Trump embraced by tech leaders. They were all front row at his inauguration. And it felt for a time like Donald Trump was actually representative, or at least what he believes in was representative of what most Americans are thinking. And if that was a vibe shift then, I think we're seeing a separate vibe shift now. Because if Donald Trump was doing this last year, I think maybe he would be getting some names. I think he would be getting some artists that he wants. I don't think people would be dropping out. But his presidency is on shaky ground. We've talked about this a lot. The economy is hurting. The cost of living is biting. The Iran war is insolvable. And I think what this event is indicative of is maybe how a lot of people don't want to be associated with him right now.
We are going to come to some of those points because there's some interesting evidence that goes to your point. But before we do, I think we do need to talk about that UFC match right out front of the White House. Because if we're talking about that very visible conflation of Trump, White House and 250th anniversary, this has got to be one of them. I'm just looking at the picture now. It's like this giant clawed arch being erected, and it's almost as big as the White House. Yeah. Maybe it's bigger. I don't know.
I think it is. It's definitely taller than the White House. I think people need to go online and look at it if they haven't seen it. It's this huge construction on the White House lawn. You can't see the lawn anymore because, as well as the construction of where the cage that they're going to fight in is, there's seating for 4,000 people. There's these huge lighting arches. It's just completely taken over the White House. And it's, you know, obviously for the American 250th, but it's being held on Donald Trump's birthday.
Right.
Meanwhile, CNN is reporting that the Pentagon is offering free tickets to some U.S. service members, but they're also reporting that the tickets will only go to soldiers who meet new military body composition standards. Now, just to explain what that means,
yes,
they're looking at waist and height standards. So they're saying for a maximum of 37-inch waists for the average man and a 35-inch waist for the average woman. Apparently, they just want military members who look good on camera because they know that a lot of people are going to be watching this. And one defense official apparently told CNN, no fatties.
That's a bit offensive and
it's
mean.
Outrageous.
It's outrageous, but it also reminds us that it's so much about the Trump administration is image, 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 image.
Yeah, that's right.
Look, Dana White, president of the UFC, has responded to questions about this, about whether this is a political event. This is what he's had to say.
No, why? Why not?
Well, it's on the birthday of America. I mean, it's the 250th birthday of America. What better place to celebrate it than the White House? And the thing that you have to understand about me is I respect whoever is the president of the United States. It isn't about red or blue or politics for me.
So just very briefly, look, there's real visible symbolism there, the UFC, MAGA, and Trump.
Yeah, I think you would be hard-pressed to find any sport in America that's particularly divisive. I think, you know, Americans all love football. They all love college football. They love baseball. They love basketball. This is a sport, UFC, that does seem to cleave along partisan lines. So it's associated with being a Trump sport in a lot of people's minds. I think when pollers ask people about it, they say they see it as more of a Republican sport. And Trump is incredibly close to Dana White. Dana White was hugely important in getting Trump elected. He spoke at the Republican National Convention in 2024. He helped organize a Fighters Against Socialism tour during the 2024 campaign.
Dana White talks about them being friends.
Yeah, he's known to have dinner with him a lot at the White House. And Trump used the sport and Dana White to reach a lot of younger male voters in 2024. He won that group, which people were quite surprised about. And, you know, it was through podcasts, it was meeting with comedians, but also the UFC was a big, big part of that.
Let's come back to that point you're making, that all of this is happening in an environment where Republicans are losing a bit of popularity, as is President Trump. How does that fit in? How do Americans view this? Do they think it's a let them eat cake moment, or is it more nuanced?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people who are looking at these celebrations and looking at the money that's being spent, and particularly looking at the chaos that is now happening around them, and thinking that Republicans may have slightly overplayed their hand there, particularly the Trump White House, because they just look out of touch, maybe, with a lot of what Americans are feeling. We know that tariffs were biting last year. We know that the inflation caused by the Iran war is hurting. We know that consumer sentiment has fallen off a cliff in America. It's really, really down. And at the same time, Donald Trump is saying, no, there's no problem with this. You know, he's out there saying there is no cost of living crisis. And he keeps pointing to the stock market. The stock market, it is reaching, you know, new highs. Last week, breaking records. And I think the problem is a lot of that is tied up around AI investments. So, for instance, I think AI growth made up for 70% of the growth in the US stock market over the last couple of years. AI companies account for 50% of the value of the S&P 500. It masks a lot of the underlying issues because there is so much investment in AI, but there's so little happening elsewhere.
So I do wonder if all of this discontent has culminated in the news we have today of the administration backpedaling on its $1.8 billion anti-weaponization fund. This is Acting Attorney General Todd Blanche just a few hours ago.
The reasons for the fund, I think, remain as important as they were before, but we are not moving forward with the fund.
Not moving forward ever.
Correct.
What do you make of that?
Yeah, so we spoke about this a few weeks ago, didn't we? And at the time, we were talking about how Donald Trump had been suing the IRS, the U.S. tax office, over the leaking of some of his tax records going back a while. And it was a very awkward position for the IRS because it's essentially Donald Trump suing his own government. You know, how do they fight their boss in court? And Todd Blanche and people in the Justice Department basically came up with a settlement where they were going to have this $1.776 billion fund, again tied to 1776, America's 250, that was going to pay out victims of federal government overreach. And so a lot of people assume this might be people who had been arrested and caught up in the January 6th Capitol riots. And there was anger. There was a huge amount of anger over that because a lot of Democrats and quite frankly, a lot of Republicans didn't want federal money, taxpayer money going to people who had been arrested for rioting at the Capitol. You know, there was talk about, I know some of those rioters who have since been excused by the president were saying, you know, I'm expecting to receive up to $30 million from this. Incredible. And I think
it doesn't look good.
It just looked terrible. And the Republican senators were saying they weren't going to pass really important legislation for Donald Trump unless something was done about this. And they have now done this. They've rolled back on the fund.
It's really rare for the administration to backpedal, isn't it, of everything that they've done.
Yeah, I mean,
it's notable.
It is really notable. And I think it shows just how damaging it was. I will note, though, that within that agreement, it was also agreed that Donald Trump and his family and his companies could never be investigated by the IRS. That was a huge win for him, and that stays.
That's still there.
So nothing is changing there, and there's still a lot of anger about that as well.
I do also wonder about where the Democrats sit in all of this, just briefly, because we've been reading some reporting from The Atlantic. They talk about there's this stubborn economic pessimism. Even though America is very wealthy, there's broad wealth inequality. They coined the term permacession. Where do the Democrats come in terms of capitalizing on this? And are they failing to do that?
Yeah, well, look, they need to have a coherent message. You know, they're expected to do well in the midterms just because Donald Trump is quite so unpopular. But looking ahead to the presidential elections in 2028, they need to come out with a really clear message. And we might talk about that again a bit later. But I think what it's so indicative of is quite what a strange position America is in right now. It's the most powerful country in the world. Yes, the stock market's going great guns. And on the face of it, the economy looks great. But it reminds me a bit of America in 1976, the time of the bicentennial. It was a really bruising period for that country. The Watergate scandal was just a few years earlier. The Vietnam War was still just a few years earlier. Everyone felt very divided and distrustful of their governments. There was, you know, high inflation in the country then. And then just a few years later, it was morning in America again. That's that famous Ronald Reagan campaign ad in 1984. America was its most optimistic ever, and it felt like the country was finally united again. You know, I think 49 out of 50 states that year voted for Ronald Reagan. It felt like America had captured what had been lost during the 1970s over the Watergate scandal and Vietnam. And I think thinking about the moment that America's in now, at the time of the semi-quincentennial, I think a lot of people are wondering, how do they get that back? And what role do either party play in getting them there?
Before we move on to the break, I should say for balance, in terms of presidents making monuments to themselves and changing the face of cities, Obama's presidential library in Chicago is about to open.
Yeah,
it's
huge.
Lots of commentary. It's huge. It's been likened to a Klingon prison. It's near windowless, as described in The Guardian, and it's worth $850 million. So maybe it's not fair to compare the two, but there's definitely
I think it's not fair to compare them to because every former president has a presidential library. His is maybe a bit more gauche than a lot of them have been. But I don't remember Barack Obama putting his name on the Kennedy Center or running banners of his face down the Justice Department building.
There you go. Well, we'll go to a break, but when we come back, the race is on for California's next governor, replacing the high-profile Gavin Newsom, who's been a bit of a thorn in Trump's side.
We'll be right back.